There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave.
How's it going, everyone? Pat Loika here, and you're listening to Loika Mania, episode 31. You'll notice this is a bonus episode this week because this happens to be the biggest week in pro wrestling. And y'all know I like my pro wrestling. And to talk about the reason we're having this episode, I have my good friend here, Antonio Cuño, making his return appearance to Loika Mania. Say hello, Antonio.
Finally, Antonio has come back to Loika Mania.
I knew that was coming. It's almost like it was rehearsed or something, you know, scripted.
Kind of almost.
Yeah, it is very much like pro wrestling. You know, you just ran in here from out of nowhere. Like your music just hit, and all of a sudden you're here invading my podcast, which is how it always works. But yeah, this is it's WrestleMania week, and I kind of want to talk about it because it's probably one of the most. One of the most anticipated things this year, because it's always a fun time. Like me and my buddy Chris Mays and a few other friends, we usually get together. We do a WrestleMania party of some kind, and it's always fun to watch. It's always an experience, and I see other people I know on Twitter are doing the same thing. Antonio, unfortunately, is not anywhere nearby, so he can't join my party, but we'll party here on the podcast.
I got my own party in my house.
All right. Well, that's good.
No, but I've actually been looking forward to this WrestleMania for a while now. A lot more than last year.
Yeah, I agree with you. That I think last year there really was only one real main attraction for that one, and that was the Undertaker Shawn Michaels match.
Yeah, that last year was just awful.
We'll get into that, and we'll get into this year's show in a bit. But before we go into that, just want to do a really, really quick rundown of some books that I picked up this week that I think everyone else should be picking up. Wolverine number 7 came out this week. It's part 2 of Wolverine versus the X-Men. It's a continuation of the Jason Aaron Wolverine possessed by a demon story, and it is phenomenal. There is some really good stuff here. Daniel Acuña continues to put out some impressive work in this book. And, man, you need to read this. Antonio, I think you will dig this issue.
Yep. I will be getting my comics this Friday, and that's one of the I will be picking up.
Secret Avengers number 11 is also really good. We find out more on John Steele and what happened to him, really, between the Marvels project and his appearances in Secret Avengers. Again, good stuff here is by Ed Brubaker and Will Conrad.
Oh, and just to add on the Ed Brubaker bandwagon, new criminal starts in June.
Oh, I know.
I saw on Comic Book Resources a 2-page preview by Sean Phillips and Ed Brubaker, and it looks amazing, and I can't wait to read it.
Oh, man, I can't wait, man. That's the book I've been waiting for a while now.
I love that book.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing that Ed does, and he does a lot of good stuff, so that says a lot. Speaking of Ed and Sean, Incognito Bad Influences number 5 came out, and again, phenomenal issue, great finale to this storyline. I like Incognito a lot, and I'm going to miss it, but man, I'm just excited that we're finally getting more criminal. So,
yes, and another edition, I actually asked Ed Brubaker on Twitter today when the next Incognito trade was coming out, and he says it's coming out the same day as the new issue of Criminal, so look forward to that in June.
Yes, that's going to be amazing. Speaking of great and amazing, Avengers number 11 by Brian Michael Bendis and John Romita Jr. and Klaus Janson. Again, phenomenal issue. The next chapter of the Infinity Gauntlet storyline, and this is I swear to God, John Romita Jr. draws the most eerie and most ethereal-looking Watcher I've ever seen. It looks really unsettling, and it's really cool. The last page of this book got me really excited. Now, I can't tell you more than that. I don't want to accidentally ruin it for you or anyone else listening.
That's good, because I've had my issues with this second arc of Avengers by Bendis and Romita Jr. But if it's gotten you really excited, I'm actually looking forward to seeing.
Yeah, why. After the last page, I'm like, oh man, no. Yeah, another book is Captain America number 616, the 70th anniversary issue of Cap.
616.
Yeah, 616, of course. What a number. I remember telling you guys one time, when I was working at a hotel, a guy named Steven Rogers checked into a room number 616. And that's why, yeah, that always gives a chuckle to me. This one is about 100 pages of all new material featuring guys like Mike Diodato, Ed McGuinness, Paul Grisp, Howard Chaykin.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's over 100 pages. It's $4.99, but man, it's all new material. Seriously, this is like the best package you could ever get.
I mean, you know, it's funny. Marvel puts out every time Marvel puts out a $5 book, they really go all out.
Oh yeah, this is such a huge book. And there even has a one page like they. You know how they did the? Remember Superman, All-Star Superman, rather. They did the six page or eight page. I mean, the two page origin story that they did there.
Yeah,
they
did a one page panels.
Yeah, one page, really? One page with five panels. The whole origin of Captain America by Travis Charest and Ed Brubaker.
That's cool.
Yeah, and you also have, among other things, Mike Benson has a story in here. Frank Thierry and Paul Azaceta, Cullen Bunn and Jason Latour. Really, really good lineup here. Definitely worth checking out. So, it's the best $5 you will spend this week. So, Captain America 616, and finally Scarlet number 5 by Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev. This is the final chapter of this first book of Scarlet, and it's a beautiful book. I don't want to ruin anything because there's some stuff here. If I start talking about this book, I will not stop. So.
It's a great book.
Yeah, it's great. This is final chapter of book one. I think anyone who's been following this story will really get into it. So that's it for now. We'll get back. We'll have more comic talk next week when we go into actual comics related stuff. But now we will focus on what the real reason we're recording this. And that's WrestleMania 27. So far, there are a total of 9 matches announced. This is a 4-hour pay-per-view.
Yeah, 9 matches.
And I can't help but think that there's going to be more because there's a lot of people who are not represented in this final card.
Yeah, no Kofi.
Yeah, poor Kofi. That guy. That guy had it rough. He
loses the Intercontinental title and then no WrestleMania.
Yeah, he had it rough the last few weeks. And considering he was like one of the guys who almost stole the show in Money in the Bank ladder matches for the last couple of years. Man,
yeah,
it's so sad, but
that's kind of disappointing. The no Money in the Bank this year. I know they have the Money in the Bank pay per view, so I guess it seems kind of redundant to have the pay per view and the match at WrestleMania.
I don't know.
But it was always one of the highlights of just like the wrestlers going all out. And I think there are going to be some good matches this year, but not anything that goes.
Nothing as spectacular as that.
Nothing spectacular.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry about that. There's going to be a lot of good matches here, and they'll probably take some time putting these matches together. But it's just not going to have the spectacle behind the Money at the Bank. You know, there's not. What kind of spots are they going to do? What kind of crazy moves are they going to pull off? You know, nothing like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I wish they had some kind of ladder match. I mean, it would be cool if they had Sheamus and Daniel Bryan as a ladder match. I think that would have been a cool ladder match.
Yeah, that would have been... I'm just glad Daniel Bryan's on the...
On the card?
Well, on the card.
He deserves it, man. But we'll start from the bottom.
But look at Sheamus. Last year, one of the main matches against Triple H, and now U.S. champion after being...
Yeah,
WWE champion twice.
Yeah, that's what sucks. He got buried for a bit there. I'm just glad he's back winning again. I like that guy. I think he's one of the guys.
He's a good wrestler. He's a good brawler. He knows how to tell a story, with wrestling. But a couple weeks ago, well, when Triple H came back, he just got buried. I was like, oh, well, There goes Sheamus's career for a while.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think that one of the reasons that, from what I know, one of the reasons why Sheamus went up is because of he and Triple H are, you know, are workout buddies or something, you know, and he hooked
them up. Yeah, that's how Batista got big.
Yeah, and you know, there was a, you know, he had a push for a while until you know, Triple H kind of, you know, took a step back, and you know, I guess other people were like kind of running the shit.
You know what it is though, it's like. There's no struggle to get to the top anymore. It's just like, oh, new wrestler, he does something, he's in the main event, and he'll win a championship. You know, it wasn't like before when like guys like Austin and The Rock and Bret Hart would like, they would start off with tag teams and be in the tag team division, or they would start out as singles and like work their way up to like the Intercontinental Championship, which used to mean something.
Usually, when you got built up to the Intercontinental title, you know, the moment you lose that is when you enter the main event, which is what, you know, everyone has done. And now it's just
because that championship had prestige, mm-hmm. and it meant that you were worth something. And then when you finally lost it, it wasn't that you lost it and you were done. It meant that you were passing it on to someone else who deserved it, and you were moving up. That's what happened to Stone Cold. That's what happened to The Rock. That's what happened to Triple H, Randy Orton.
And for all we know, that could be what's going to happen to it now, because, I mean, the guys that currently hold the U.S. and the Intercontinental belts, Wade Barrett and Sheamus, you know, they were in the main event. They were kind of pushed kind of prematurely, and now they're, you know, back to holding some kind of title. And it, I think it's possible that, you know, this is it for them. They, you know, this is their move up finally, you know, the proper way to move up, rather. But who knows? The fact that we'll kind of start from the bottom, since we're kind of on Wade Barrett right now. We'll start with the 8-man tag match that they're going to have. It's going to be The Core, which is a lame name.
Yeah, it's a stupid name.
Yeah, with Wade Barrett, Ezekiel Jackson, Justin Gabriel, and Heath Slater versus The Big Show, Kane, Santino, and Kozlov.
I hope that's the first match, so I don't have to spend that much time with it.
Yeah, Show and Kane are pretty much main eventers over in SmackDown, and the fact that, you know, you got Barrett involved with those guys kind of, I think, pushes him up, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I just don't care for this match.
I don't care for it either. I wish Wade was in a better match, to be quite honest.
I wish he was defending the Intercontinental Championship against Kofi or something. Like, at least have a rematch.
Or have a ladder match. Damn it. I want a ladder match in this show, you know, man.
Exactly. But yeah, this match, I really don't care for. But there was a last-minute change to this match that I read online.
I heard it was going to be Kofi and Christian.
It was going to be Kofi and Christian, but they wanted to reward Santino with a WrestleMania match, so Kofi...
Man, put him in the Diva Battle Royal again.
And I guess Edge is going to be... Christian's going to be in Edge's corner for the match, but he's not wrestling either, which is a shame.
Yeah, Christian... I don't understand... Man, I'll get into Christian later. We'll get to that match. Okay. So for this match, who do you think is going to take it? The Core or the – I don't even know what to call that other group. I want the Core to win this.
So do I.
It should be them. It's been their year. These guys have been the villains on Raw for the past year. I think
– whole Nexus thing was just a complete and utter – it was treated with such stupidity that – if you really, you know, these guys were never over. They were never a threat. And
no, they were until they booked them kind of irresponsibly after the whole Daniel Bryan getting removed thing, and then they got neutered. And
that was right at the beginning.
Yeah, I mean that start was amazing when they jumped Cena, they did this whole thing. But then after that, it just kind of fell apart because they lost Daniel Bryan. Then they were running out of ideas or something with him. I don't know, but
yeah, they lost Skip Sheffield to injury.
Yeah,
and then it just became, you know, just Cena owning them, but you know, they got Cena fired, but Cena was still on TV.
one of the dumbest.
It was so stupid. It was just stupid. It was handled very poorly.
Man, that was just disappointing. So,
and what's the point of the Nexus now on Raw with Punk? Like, they're all gone.
they all got sent back to developmental.
That thing with the Nexus when they first debuted was so awesome because you're like, what's going on? Why is this happening? And why do I love it so much? And then it just fell flat on its face.
Yeah, they really botched that. And then it's a shame because that was probably one of the best things they did.
Yeah.
But, okay, so we're both in agreement. We want the core to win this thing.
Yeah, I think the core deserves... If they want the core to stay together and remain as stable and they want and you want them to be dominant, they should go over.
They really should, too, because they are the champions right now. They all have championships.
Right. They have tag team belts and the Intercontinental belt. Yeah.
They need to look strong and going in and out of this thing so that they will have some kind of credibility.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Next up is Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan. Now, I don't know who I want to pick for this because I like both of these guys. I just want a good match.
I think it's going to be a great match, actually. Yeah.
This is probably going to steal the show, in my opinion.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you know what? I wouldn't be upset if Sheamus retained, but I wouldn't be upset if Daniel won. And I'd actually after like the few encounters Sheamus and Bryan have had have been really good. But Daniel always takes a beating, and it would be nice to see him win or make Sheamus tap out.
I agree. I would have no problem either way, you know, in regards of who wins. I just hope they handle it properly, and I just hope they both look good at the end of it. I want this can be like the Steamboat Savage match from WrestleMania.
It could, you know, it's possible.
This has the chance of doing that because you get Daniel Bryan is just so good, and he really, I think his matches with Sheamus really brought up Sheamus's game, and that it really shows that this guy really actually earned his push for all this time. So, yeah, I have no pick. I'm just happy that this match is there. So,
yeah.
And I'm hoping, well, regardless of who wins, I think it's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it. Next match is the match I'm kind of not excited about. It's the John Morrison, Trish Stratus, and Snooki versus Dolph Ziggler and Lay Cool.
Yeah.
I want Morrison to win, but I really can't stand Snooki. So.
I want Ziggler to win.
Yeah, Ziggler has been actually really good.
He's becoming like one of my guys now. I think he's amazing. The matches he's had with Daniel Bryan, the two matches he had with John Cena, the two matches he had with Cena were great. I'm with Dolph Ziggler on this one. As much as I like John Morrison, honestly, I wish this was more of a John Morrison versus Dolph Ziggler match.
Oh, that's what I would rather get too. But I'm not excited about this.
With Trish and Snooki on John Morrison's team and Lay Cool on the other side with Vicky Guerrero. Uh-huh. But because I honestly think that if those two were allowed to do what they wanted, I think that would have been the match that stole WrestleMania.
That could have stolen the show, but no, they had to dump the Divas in there.
And you know Snooki's going to get the pin, and it's going to be retarded and whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of predictable at this point. You know, you can kind of see what's going to happen. But you never know, and hopefully we are wrong.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely smart of Vince McMahon to bring in Snooki.
Yeah, I know, but doesn't mean I have to like it.
But no one cares. You know, it was like when the rumor was going around that Justin Bieber was going to sing at WrestleMania. Oh, it's God. Like, you know what? It's a smart move on Vince's part, but all the wrestling fans don't care.
Well, yeah, well, that's because I don't care. But I don't care about it either. Yeah. Oh, well. You're with Ziggler.
You're with John Morrison.
Okay, we'll find out. When we do the post show, we'll get into this even more.
I want Dolph Ziggler to win, but I don't think he's going to win.
I would like to see Ziggler win too. Actually, I don't mind him winning. I won't mind, but yeah, I'm picking Morrison. That's the responsible choice. Next up is Rey Mysterio versus Cody Rhodes. I am looking forward to this match. I like the build-up that they've had for this. I think Cody has really come a long way since a year ago. I like the dashing gimmick, and I'm this kind of cracks me up, this current gimmick he has. So it should be interesting, to say the least.
He's definitely had it better than Ted DiBiase.
Oh yeah, well this guy has more personality. He actually has charisma. You know, that's why he's done so well for himself.
This could be another match that could actually steal the show.
Yeah, it could.
I mean, as much as I don't like Rey Mysterio,
really?
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I liked him way back in the day when he was still young.
I liked WCW Rey Mysterio.
Yeah. That Rey Mysterio.
But once he came to the WWE, I was like, nope.
Became very predictable, you know, very, everything is pretty much the same. You know, he does nothing, there's no variety. I mean, he's good, he can still work a good match, but it's still, you know, it's not nowhere near as great as he was back then.
It's been, what, like 10 years? His body's taken a lot of punishment.
Yeah, that poor guy, that poor little guy. But
I had surgery on my knee 5 times.
Did I tell you about the story where my buddy Chris Mays kind of cock-blocked him with Toys R Us?
I think, yes. Oh,
man. Man, I love that story.
It's a great story.
Yeah, but basically, since I kind of brought it up here, my buddy...
You should tell everyone what this story is.
So basically, this was when Chris Mays, who I had here on the show a few weeks ago, he used to work at Toys R Us. And they were closing up shop, and this guy walks up to the entrance trying to get in. And Chris recognized who it was because it was around the time of Rey Mysterio unmasked and on WCW. So Chris goes, "Hey, you're Rey Mysterio." And Mysterio had this glint of hope in his eyes. He's like, "Oh, wow, you're going to let me in there. He knows who I am. He's going to let me in so I can buy my stuff for whatever." And then Chris goes, "All right, man, we're closed, though." and the look of defeat, he was talking about, like, the look of defeat, the look of loss in Mysterio's face was priceless back then.
That's fantastic.
That could have been enough to have, you know, that was like a complete heel turn on Chris's part.
He didn't let me get my toys.
Oh, man. Those days.
But, yeah, damn you, Chris Mays.
Oh, man. Damn you, Chris Mays. You foul human being. If Jim Ross was there, like, "Damn you, Chris! Damn your soul!"
In a intercompany cross promotion.
Man, at any rate, Rey Mysterio and Cody. I'm going to go with Cody on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cody too, just because I don't like Rey Mysterio.
And I just hope he ditches that stupid mask. Seriously.
No, dude, my friend Jason, he went to a Raw a month or two ago, I think, and he said he's like, "Dude, guess how much the Rey Mysterio masks cost at the show?" And like, honestly, you see them and they look all right. Mm-hmm. I was like, "There's no way they're more than $20, $25 at the most." He's like, "Yeah, right, dude. They cost $60."
Oh my God, for a mask?
For a mask, because Jason was standing online. He was getting a couple of shirts, and the guy in front of him, he bought 2 masks for his kid and dropped $120 for 2 masks. It's ridiculous,
man.
So you know,
$20 on. I wouldn't spend $20 on that mask.
Yeah, but I if I was Rey. Just for the money I'd be making from those masks, I'd keep it. keep the mask as long as possible.
Ah, well, whatever. Rey. I hope he puts on a good show, though, despite his knees and all that.
I hope he puts on a good show, too. I mean, I think he will. It's gonna be WrestleMania. He's going to go all out like he always does. Was it like, unlike that, was that a couple of years ago or like a year ago? That stupid 1 minute Intercontinental Championship match with JBL.
Well, that was hilarious. I thought that was kind of funny, actually. But We'll jump into the next match, and this is one of the ones I'm really looking forward to. It is Jerry Lawler versus Michael Cole. The special referee, Steve Austin, and Michael Cole has Jack Swagger, his trainer, on his corner. Man, he went from winning Money in the Bank a year ago, and now he is now he's Lawler's corner man. I mean, sorry, Cole's corner man.
Yeah.
Should be interesting. Who's your pick here? I mean, it has to be King, right?
There's no way Michael Cole wins. I just hope this isn't the black hole that was Bret Hart versus Vince McMahon last year.
The one for one thing though, Cole's younger, so he probably has it in him, and I'm sure he trains. So that's I guess we shall see.
But. I really don't care about what happens with this match.
Really?
I think the build-up's been great, but like completely too much. Like, I can understand hatred or jealousy on Cole's part about King or like, you know, whatever. But like the whole thing about bringing up his dead mom and then like shoving Brian Christopher in his face, that wasn't an act. That was real.
It felt real, but the thing about that is, this is like, how do I say this? Cole is, he's being really, it's a really old school type of heel, you know? And it's, I can kind of see if you're not feeling it, but I think he's milked it so well. He's done so well with this.
Yes, but actually the other, after Raw on Monday, me and Jason were talking, and there's no way he loses and still does commentary with King the next night.
You can't do that. You definitely have to avoid that.
He has to be off TV for a while.
They have to take him off or put him on the other show or something, because there is no going back.
You can't at this point, because we all know Lawler's going to win. And Lawler's going to kick the crap out of him. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see a couple of stunners from Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, they built the character up to the point where he's irredeemable, and he really has to undergo some kind of change. He has to go away for a very long time for this to have any kind of meaning. And especially, I mean, they've been building it like they know what they're up to, like they know what they're doing, but they just need to stick with whatever plan they're supposed to have. Because if they do this and then they bring Cole back the next day to do commentary, then that's a problem.
Yeah, that's just it can't work that way.
Yeah. So hopefully they know what they're doing and they do it properly. And Jack Swagger, I hope the heat that he catches for being with Cole here, stays with him, because I think he's a great character. He's a great wrestler.
He's a good wrestler. He deserves better.
Yeah. And I'm glad they put him in a program where he's kind of, you know, in everyone's eye. But
yeah, nothing generates heel like putting the angle lock on good old JR.
Yeah, JR, and then literally
my ankle,
I can't feel my knee. I think he legitimately got hurt, didn't he? He really got hurt.
That's what I read online.
Yeah, and that cracks me up. Like, oh man, talk about selling an angle.
Besides the fact that he was the one that found Swagger for the WWE.
Yeah, hey, I found this guy here. I think he'd be a great wrestler. You should put him in. He's from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, so my pick is Jerry Lawler, and if it's not him, then there's something wrong.
Yeah, it has to be the King.
Man, if they don't, well, there's gonna be problems. Anyway, next match. This is one I'm actually really looking forward to. Also, it's Randy Orton versus CM Punk.
Yes.
Oh man, I sure hope they put over that tour bus again, because they were really man. I love my tour. Like, I hear voices in my head, but I love my tour bus. I bring my family.
I love my family and my tour bus. And CM Punk's gonna pay because I'm despicable and mean.
Man.
I'm not a Randy Orton fan at all.
I like Orton, but I like him when he's in the ring. I'm not a fan of his promos.
His promos are awful. his ring. I don't know.
Actually, I like the way he moves through the ring. I like. There's something about the way he moves. I like the way he
his. He has a good predator style.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he looks when he stalks because of his, you know, because he's tall and lanky, but like still ripped, and like he has a good presence.
Exactly.
But sometimes he just has to hit all his stupid spots. Yeah. And I hit that stupid DDT so much.
Oh, really? You're not a fan of the Hangman DDT or whatever you're calling that thing now?
The second rope DDT? Uh-huh. I hate it.
I like it. Well, I can kind of see where you're coming from, though.
My favorite wrestler, or should I say superstar? No, he's a wrestler.
Yeah, he's a wrestler.
Even if it's real or not, he's a wrestler. He's my favorite wrestler, and I you know what? I'm not a big John Cena fan, but the matches he's had with John Cena, he's actually made John Cena look great. So I can only and Orton is a better wrestler than Cena. So I can only imagine the greatness that is going to come out of Randy Orton because of CM Punk.
Yeah, although I am really rooting. I mean, what's likely going to happen is that Randy Orton's going to win, but I really want CM Punk to win.
I know. I mean, that's what it looks like on Raw, mm-hmm. which is stupid because, all right, Randy Orton completely destroys the Nexus, and it looks like they're even, but then now he has an injured leg. You know, in quotes, you can't see me, but I'm doing air quotes around the word injured, because we all know it's an angle. So I mean, I don't know. And you know, Punk looks strong going into WrestleMania, so clearly that means that he's losing. But I just want to say one thing about CM Punk. That promo on Raw this week
was amazing.
Fantastic.
It's
so funny how he tried to generate heat in his hometown, mm-hmm. but they didn't boo him, and they still cheered for him.
Yeah, that was
funny. And what's funny about that is I remember seeing earlier on Twitter that day someone asking him how he's going to generate heat in his hometown, and he's like, "I'll do it," and I don't think he did.
Hey, they love him. They know he's that good, and he really is that good.
Yeah, he is.
I love that guy. That guy has probably one of the best work ethics I've seen. The fact that he was a great announcer while he was injured and he was still
working. Yeah, he made the show so much better.
Yeah, he was such a great announcer. And then
he was like an announcer for a month, and like everyone's like, "Hey, my Diet Coke or my Diet Pepsi."
He's great. He's funny, and the fact that he's, you know, he's a big comic guy too. Like, adds to that. Do you follow his Twitter account?
Comic book nerds represent. Yeah, I saw him posting about Bendis's Avengers stuff. He liked it.
No, did you see what he was posting? Like, he was in Costa Rica or something. He was hoping someone would mail him a copy of the new Scalped. And I thought, man, this guy, so cool.
Oh yeah, I saw that. I saw that he reads Scalped. That's a I love that book.
Yeah.
But yeah, Punk. I want Punk to win.
Yeah, I want Punk to win too. But who knows? Maybe that is what happens.
Maybe hopefully Randy Orton will give the rub to Punk.
That will be
hopefully
cool.
Hopefully, you know what? Hey, Orton, you won last year against two guys. let's give Punk this one, and maybe then maybe he can lose to you at the next pay per view.
At Backlash, which is they need a better name for that pay per view. Anyway, we'll jump to the next match and. Right now, I'm looking at The Undertaker and Triple H. Streak versus, I don't know what's at stake here.
The beard.
Oh. this match. I like to think that Undertaker versus Triple H is the match where we'll find out who is Shawn Michaels going to screw over.
You think so?
I don't know. I think he's gonna do something here. I mean, he's. It doesn't state that he's gonna be in anyone's corner. But between the Undertaker, who ended his career, and Triple H, who is his best friend that he thinks wouldn't be able to beat Taker, or he wouldn't want to see him beat Taker. I think there's potential here for something. Hopefully,
yeah,
it's a good match.
I agree. Besides, that promo on Raw was great.
Yeah, that was phenomenal. Although I'm worried about Undertaker because I haven't seen him perform in a while, and he is, you know, he's been injured for a while. He's not there. He's not where he used to be, you know, not even right. from where he was a year ago. So I'm worried this guy's just going to fall apart.
I hope not.
I hope I not too, so. Because I want this match to steal the show because I'm a Triple H fan. I like Triple H.
I've had my love hate with Triple H. I was a big Triple H fan in the beginning, you know, but then like when he was winning all the time, or like never dropping the title, or it was just like the Triple H show on Raw for a while. That's when I stopped watching for a while.
The McMahon Helmsley era.
yeah, stuff like that. You know the. No, but even like the beginning of Evolution, I skipped all that.
Oh man, I thought Evolution was great. That was a good stable, I thought.
I'm you know, like I said before, I'm not a big fan of Randy Orton. The only time I liked Batista was when he was on his way out because he was doing like the best promos he's ever done.
Oh yeah,
With the spotlight, and he's like, are you serious? Oh, yeah,
the douche-tista, yeah.
Yeah.
That was great.
I thought that stuff was so good. And I was like, you know what? He may not be, like, a great wrestler, but his promos are really good. Have you seen that YouTube video? I've posted it on Facebook a couple times. It was, like, the last match he had at a pay-per-view, or, like, the pay-per-view before that where he was wrestling John Cena and he was beating on John Cena outside the mat, outside the ring, and a fan goes, "I hate you, Batista," and he just turns around and he's like, "I hate you too." I love that.
Oh man, he's great. He was really underrated, I thought. And his towards the end of his run was probably some of his best stuff though.
I swear, like, I became a fan of his towards the end of his run because he became a great heel. And I think the reason it worked is because he wasn't like a heel like, you know, like Punk or The Miz. Mm-hmm. He was a crybaby heel.
Mm-hmm.
But he had legitimate gripes. Which was the best part.
Man.
But I really enjoyed the I hope he comes back, and I hope he comes back as, well, you know, like, you know how, like, everyone goes away, and then when they come back, they're all, like, fan favorites. Mm-hmm. But, like, I hope they bring back Douche-tista.
I hope so, too. But back on the topic, though, they're not going to break the streak.
No.
Taker, Triple H.
They're not.
Even Triple H is not going to force himself to take that, to be the guy.
Yeah, no, you know that True Story of WrestleMania DVD that came out?
Yes.
You know, you can watch it on Netflix. It's available streaming on Netflix. Mm-hmm. Triple H says that the streak should never be broken.
Yeah, and that's kind of all the proof you need. Yeah, he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
Unless he was full of it.
The thing about this match is that it's not about who wins. Mm-hmm. It's about making a WrestleMania moment.
Oh yeah, that's true, and that's why Shawn Michaels is going to be involved, and that's why I brought up the question: who is Shawn Michaels going to screw over?
Yeah, no, I think you have a point, especially with having HBK on Raw this week.
Yeah, him showing up there and him going to the Hall of Fame, and
that's true.
They brought up quite a few things about Shawn, so that's I think we're gonna. It's gonna be about who Shawn decides to help out.
Yeah. Besides the week after Undertaker and Triple H came back on that one Raw, mm-hmm. they've been showing like small segments of Shawn Michaels talking about each of them every week on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't even put two and two together, but I think you're right. I think Shawn Michaels is gonna get involved, and that's how Triple H is gonna lose.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, Undertaker's gonna win this.
I mean, yeah, we both picked the Undertaker, but we both know that it's not about who wins.
Yeah, it's not
about the match.
Yeah, and you know, just keeping the streak alive is enough of a moment as it is. So I just hope they do a good match. They already fought each other 10 years ago exactly,
And, yeah.
It wasn't,
which they didn't want to bring up.
Yeah, which they kind of omitted from the history books.
Besides the fact that Undertaker is 18-0 at WrestleMania, but he did not defeat 18 other guys. Because this will be his second match with Triple H. Mm-hmm. He wrestled Shawn Michaels 2 years in a row, and he wrestled Kane twice at two different WrestleManias. So I think it's about like 15 different guys, or 16, because one of the matches he had was a handicap match. And he beat, but who was it? I think it was Big Show and Prince Albert.
Oh, man, Prince Albert.
or when he was going by A-Train.
Oh, man. That guy was terrible.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
He was. I remember he was a tag team with Test.
Oh, yeah, TNA.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of Trish Stratus, because she was their manager.
Yeah, that was not that great, but oh, well.
Yeah.
Next up is the World Heavyweight Championship match between Edge and Alberto Del Rio. And Edge has Christian in his corner. Alberto has Brodus Clay, as well as, his personal ring announcer, Ricardo Rodriguez.
I love that guy.
That guy's awesome. Have you ever been watching NXT, particularly Season 4?
No.
Watch it. It's hilarious.
Okay.
When we finish this, I'm going to show you some stuff from there. And then you'll be like, okay, I need to look up Season 4 because it's hilarious.
All right. No, but Ricardo Rodriguez is great. I love the excess and extravagance of Del Rio's entrance. Uh-huh. I just think it's classic heel and, like, overindulgent. And I can't wait to see it for WrestleMania.
I think it's going to be great. And I'm sure they're going to go overboard because it's Mania.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to win this? I really want Alberto to win this.
Yeah. No, me too.
I've been hearing that Christian might be doing a heel turn, and he's going to turn on Edge here.
I don't see why it would make sense at this particular moment. Like, if they do it, I guess, I can't stop them from doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, this, to turn on Edge with the guy who broke your arm and put you out of action for, like, 6 months doesn't make sense. If any, like, I, again, the other night I was talking to my friend Jason, and what I want to happen is I want Del Rio to win.
Yeah.
I absolutely want Del Rio to win, but I want him, in the process of winning, to storybook injure Edge so that someone has to come up and take vengeance for Edge, and that'll be Christian. So that Christian – and, obviously he's not going to win the title immediately, but I really hope that it brings him up there, that eventually he'll win – the world heavyweight championship.
Yeah, he's been there long enough,
He deserves it. I mean, I know there's always room. There's always rumors online that say that Vince doesn't understand the popularity of Christian, but it's there, and you don't have that many other guys on SmackDown right now. I mean, do you really want to see Kane or Big Show win the world title again?
No more, please. No more of that.
And I think Christian deserves it. He's more than paid his dues. And also for the fact that he's actually going to be – he could possibly be one of the last guys to ever be a Grand Slam champion.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Because he's won the European, he's won the Hardcore, he's won Intercontinental, and he's been tag team champion with Edge a bunch of times, and Chris Jericho and Lance Storm. He's one of the guys that he would actually, if he won the World Heavyweight title, he would be the 11th person to be a Grand Slam champion.
And yeah, probably the last one, too.
And yeah, quite possibly the last one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because he'd be, and he'd be in the same list as Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho, Triple H, Rob Van Dam, Eddie Guerrero. All Grand Slam champions.
Yeah, but I don't know. Hopefully they've come to their senses with him. But
I don't want Christian to turn heel.
I don't want it either. But the rumor I'm hearing is that if that's what's going to happen, because he's beaten Alberto a few times before Mania, and he thinks he's going to get him instead for the title, and he's going to be chasing Del Rio. But I don't know. That makes no sense either, because heel on heel match.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's why I'm saying it should go the way I said it. Yeah. I should be booking this.
You don't want to be a writer for the WWE, though. I don't know if you've been listening to the I Want Wrestling shows or this whole week in Wrestling Observer, they've been having different writers, and man, they have some stories to tell about working there. I don't know if you want to book for those people. okay, well, my pick is Alberto. Your pick is Alberto. So.
Yeah. Let's
see what happens. Finally, the last match is John Cena versus The Miz for the WWE Championship. And I have a nasty feeling Cena's going to take it.
I don't.
You think Miz will retain?
I think Miz is going to retain.
I hope so.
The Rock.
Yeah, that could be a possibility, but who knows. Or they could give you the feel-good ending with The Rock and Cena being all...
That's not going to happen.
You know what, though? Because of what just happened last Monday, I think you are right. But I just can't. You just can't. Vince McMahon changes his mind like...
Yeah.
Like nobody's business.
Yeah.
So... It's hard to predict. I'm almost certain Cena's going to win this, but if Miz retains, I'll be very happy, because I think Miz needs to be built up more as a more credible champion.
Unless John Cena does win, and the real main event is John Cena versus The Rock for the title at Mania.
I don't know if they're going to do that, because The Rock, for one thing, will not be able to do that schedule.
Yeah, I know. But, okay. My friend Jason thinks that The Rock's going to win the title at Mania, and I'm not so sure. I think The Rock inadvertently, or on purpose probably, is going to help The Miz retain.
I guess we'll see, but I'm assuming they're going to build up to a Rock-Cena thing over in SummerSlam.
Yeah,
that's the big rumor.
The rumor I read online is that they're going to save it for SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Or, as Jeremy Piven would call it, Summerfest.
man. Summerfest.
It's always good to get celebrities who have no knowledge of the product whatsoever.
Wait, was it Jeremy Piven or was it David Hasselhoff?
That was Jeremy Piven.
Oh, okay. All right, so that's pretty much the entire card. My pick, again, is... My picks, once again, are The Core for the first match.
Yeah, me too.
I'm even, Steven, on the U.S. title match.
Same here.
I picked Morrison for the mixed tag, and you picked Ziggler.
I picked Ziggler, but we both know that's not going to happen.
We both picked Cody Rhodes for the Rey Mysterio match.
Yeah.
We both picked Jerry Lawler over Michael Cole, and we both picked CM Punk over Randy Orton. Of course, it's an obvious choice. The Undertaker will win his match with Triple H.
Yeah.
We both picked Del Rio for the World Heavyweight title. And for the WWE title, we're both going with The Miz.
Yeah.
And it should be interesting that when we're going to do this again next week.
Yes.
After Mania, probably on Tuesday or something, we're going to record this. And we're going to talk about what we just saw. See how it is.
You know, all I pray is that it's better than last year. Because last year was awful.
I think it has the potential to be better than last year, even though
so do I.
it doesn't have a ladder match, you know, or a money.
It's actually funny. I'm really looking forward to the Undertaker Triple H match. It's been a while since we've seen both of them wrestle, so I think I guess I'm kind of nostalgic for that. Plus, they're icons.
Yeah, and to think about it though, they're like. Really, they're the last of the really big names of the Attitude Era. You know, they're the last; they're the only ones left.
Yeah, wow,
I didn't active.
Even...
I mean, if you think about it, they're the only ones who haven't retired yet. I mean, The Rock is kind of semi-retired, and Stone Cold is retired. You know, that's not.
Yeah, and Stone Cold isn't wrestling again.
Yeah, he's done. They're the last of the attitude there. I mean, we lost Sean last year, so he's done. So that's it.
But even though Sean was before Attitude Era,
yeah, but he was a major part of that, though. You know, he,
there's Kane.
Kane, but really, it's Kane. Seriously, it's Kane. What else can I say?
Kane, the former holder of the WWE Championship for a day.
Yeah, and then he had that title run last year, which was like one of the weirdest title runs ever. And he had like the weirdest promos where he was doing all these crazy monologues. You'd think he would. Man, I don't know about that guy.
I don't remember what I was watching, but they showed a bunch of stuff with Kane wearing like old school Kane when he was still wearing his mask.
Uh-huh.
I was like, man, I miss that Kane.
Yeah, I want that Kane back too. He was much better. The less he talked, the better.
Yeah, the less he talked, the better.
Man, did you see that stupid that they did on Monday where he was doing the trombone thing with Santino?
Yeah, like, I was embarrassed for him.
I was like, that poor guy.
It was so
dumb. How do you even explain that after everything he did, after he sabotaged and put the Undertaker out of commission, and everyone just welcomes him back with open arms?
That didn't happen.
Man, they're retconning wrestling storylines now too.
They do that all the time.
Man, that's a mistake.
Wasn't the original match for the Undertaker this year at Mania supposed to be Wade Barrett because the Nexus cost him their match with Kane, the Buried Alive match?
Oh yeah, well, no,
wrestling retcon.
They really botched it. Oh well. At any rate, we will be back next week with a post WrestleMania recap, and we will have another episode where I will be interviewing I'll be chatting with another good pal of mine. I'm not going to reveal it yet because we're still working things out, but I'll be talking with another person. We'll be talking some comic stuff. So next week, look out for a double-sized episode of Loikamania with Antonio, who will be returning to talk the post-WrestleMania show with my buddy Chris Mays. And, of course, we'll have some comic talk and other stuff. So you guys take it easy, and we will see you next week.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and see. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Meet me, Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in my load. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.